Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Arun Vanigopal, in for Tanzina Vega. Good to be with you. Next month, the U.S. Census Bureau will be sending out mail to households across the country with instructions on how to fill out the 2020 census. And for the first time ever, people will be given the option to fill out the census online. Census takers will also be shifting to digital, using a phone app to take in people's information. That's got some people feeling a little uneasy about security. Earlier this month, the Government Accountability Office released a report that addressed some of these changes. The report noted that while the Census Bureau has taken steps to address cybersecurity and IT risks, quote, more work remains. GAO Director of Cybersecurity and Data Protection Nick Marinos underscored some of his agency's concerns at a House Oversight and Reform Committee hearing earlier this month.
The technology innovations that the Bureau plans to rely on for the 2020 census create opportunities for increasing efficiency and effectiveness of the count. However, they also bring with them significant IT and cybersecurity risks. Ultimately, the success of operations in the upcoming months will be directly tied to how the Bureau continues to manage these risks.
And figuring out whether the Census Bureau is prepared to manage those remaining cyber risks is where we're going to start today. Joining me now is Joshua Gelzer, Executive Director of Georgetown Law's Institute for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection, and former Senior Director for Counterterrorism at the National Security Council from 2015 to 2017. Thanks for coming on The Takeaway, Joshua.
Thanks for the invitation.
In July of 2018, you sent a letter to the Census Bureau asking for more transparency around the Bureau's cybersecurity strategy for the 2020 census. How did they respond to your letter?
The initial response was swift, but not necessarily satisfactory. Within really just a day or two, there was a brief statement from the Census Bureau essentially saying, "We've got this." Many of us who'd signed the letter didn't think that was enough, given the stakes, given the potential vulnerabilities. So when we followed up with an op-ed, the Census Bureau responded in a bit more of a fulsome way. They led a public presentation on the census with a technology component. They indicated that they were doing some of the baseline things we had recommended, like using two-factor authentication to log in, using encryption for data in transit and at rest. But to my mind, they also left some questions unanswered.
Now, the census has remained on the GAO's list of the highest risk government projects since 2017. What does that mean?
I think it speaks to the difficulty associated with taking as big a project and as critical a project as the census and making it digital for the first time. Remember, this is hundreds of millions of responses from across the country. And when government or, frankly, other entities have gone digital for the first time at that type of scale, it's well known that there have been problems. Here, not only has the project been a massive one, but it's been underfunded at various stages. The number of end-to-end tests, really dress rehearsals, that the Census Bureau was able to conduct was fewer than they wanted. They initially planned for three, but ended up with just one. So all of that means that even as this has moved forward, it has left concerns about whether everything will be ready, especially in time.
So given the fact that it is digital now for the first time, but there's also a component where census officials will follow up with people who don't necessarily respond digitally, correct?
That's exactly right. So the first stage will be, as you said earlier, mailings that encourage all of us to respond online through our phones, our computers, whatever it might be, using a code that's come in that mailing. But that's not all. The second wave, so to speak, will be people called enumerators, whom the Census Bureau continues to recruit, actually, and they will come to people's doors, as the enumerators have for decades and decades, and follow up, though they in turn will submit what they learn digitally through handheld devices.
Now, we've been asking our listeners to send us their questions about the census, and we got this message from a listener in Davis, California, who asked, "What safeguards are in place to keep the online data secure from hacking and also from possibly being used by other government agencies, such as ICE?" What's your response, Joshua?
It's a good question, really two good questions in one. So in terms of the hacking threat, this is part of what motivated concern from those of us who signed that letter you mentioned, which is we know that foreign adversaries are interested in making American democracy look weak, vulnerable, brittle. And the census is so critical to American democracy that we worried it at least presented a tempting target. Now, as I mentioned, the Census Bureau has indicated that it is aware of that, and it has worked with DHS and with others in the government to try to think about the vulnerabilities, think about what bad actors could do to exploit them, and use things like encryption and two-factor authentication to try to secure the data as it comes to the Census Bureau and then as it is held by the Census Bureau. Then there's the question of other parts of our own government. There's actually a set of protections in federal law, in statute, indicating that information gathered by the Census Bureau should not spread widely, should not be used for other purposes. And a lot of those tracking census developments are particularly concerned about ensuring that those words written down as federal law, in fact, are adhered to in practice.
Now, census takers will also be making a shift to digital, as well as the people who are actually responding to the census. How much do we know about the app that census takers are using and who created it?
The fairest answer is we probably don't know as much as we'd like about all sorts of aspects of the IT infrastructure. One estimate by GAO is that 52 different parts constitute the digital architecture of this year's census, and that's a lot. And these have been developed over time. As I mentioned, they have had some testing, but going digital a first time can be difficult, especially at scale. Now, ultimately, I think the takeaway listeners need to have is we all need to participate in the census. That's a requirement of federal law. It's also what our democracy needs to know how to allocate seats in the House of Representatives and, in turn, votes in the Electoral College. So there's in a sense, no choice here. But I do think the Census Bureau should continue to be prodded by all of us to be as transparent as possible, ultimately, because I hope it will boost confidence. I hope that their answers are good ones about the protections in place for apps like the one you've mentioned, so that people can not only participate in the census, but do so with maximum confidence in the process and ultimately in the result.
A listener in Winooski, Vermont asked us, how has testing gone for the new computer system?
So as I mentioned, the original hope was to have three end-to-end tests, as they were called, but because of budget, among other constraints, there ended up being just one in Providence, Rhode Island. It occurred a number of months back, and afterwards, there were some things that went well, there were some things that went not so well, and the not so well did include parts of the digital infrastructure. Now, that doesn't mean all of those are cybersecurity concerns. Some of those can just be usability, right? There are other aspects to interacting with digital platforms other than the data necessarily being vulnerable. But the whole point of a dress rehearsal, so to speak, is to allow an entity like GAO to come in, scrutinize what's happened, for the Bureau itself, the Census Bureau, to scrutinize what's happened, and to learn from it. And the most recent GAO report from a few weeks ago, while it did identify continuing concerns about the digital infrastructure for the 2020 census, it also pointed to the Census Bureau as having been responsive to GAO's and others' concerns throughout the past months. And if anything, my biggest takeaway from that recent GAO report was they're getting things better. They're just getting close to running out of time, so they need to accelerate.
I'm speaking with Georgetown's Joshua Gelter about cybersecurity and the 2020 census. All right, when it comes to potential hacks, what are the biggest concerns you have about a data breach?
It's interesting to look back at 2016 in this context, because when one does so, one looks at the Russians apparently having probed voting systems. Best of our knowledge, they didn't change any votes, and then also use social media to disseminate disinformation. And if you zoom out, what that means is the Russians are ultimately interested in destroying or at least minimizing Americans' confidence in their own democracy, and in fact, Russians' confidence in democracy as a form of government. I say that because it points to what could be the problem for the census or just government data in the future, which is it doesn't take a lot to undermine confidence. It doesn't take deleting huge numbers of responses. It doesn't take changing those. It takes doing even a little and then letting people know about it for Americans to begin to worry, to begin to wonder, and especially in this moment where Americans are so polarized when it comes to politics, where politics has become so fraught. That's the sort of thing we need to guard against. And that's where greater reassurance, hopefully grounded in hard work, to protect the digital infrastructure of the census by the Census Bureau could help fend off that sort of attempt by the Russians or by others who are increasingly emulating Russian tactics so that we remain confident in the census as a cornerstone of our democracy for the next decade.
So one of the concerns, if I understand this right, is that there will be the spread of misinformation and sort of alarmist rumors on social media and the like. Are we seeing any sort of response from Facebook and other social media platforms to try to minimize this? Or are they kind of like just sitting on the sidelines?
We are seeing an attempt by Facebook and others in that community to get ahead of this. So on the one hand, as we were talking about before, you have threats to data integrity, the idea that the Russians or others might actually delete or change responses. But then we also have this threat to discourse integrity, the idea that misinformation, disinformation will circulate quickly, digitally, about the census, whether to participate, how to participate, when to participate. And to its credit, the Census Bureau has opened channels to the likes of Facebook and Twitter and others. They've asked those companies to prioritize disinformation about the census specifically, given the stakes. And by media reports, the companies have responded. They've open those channels to the government. They've allocated at least some resources to preparing for this. They seem to be on guard for disinformation about this, which reflects, of course, the stakes. And the stakes are big for any census. And so the hope is that tech companies and government can view this as essentially a shared responsibility. The things circulating on those digital platforms that can affect the foundations of our democracy are handled as a priority and a shared responsibility.
Joshua Geltzer is the executive director of Georgetown Law's Institute for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection. Thanks so much, Joshua.
Thank you.